Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Thinking again about tomorrow night into Sunday, if Kansas City were to lose, and the difference in what it would all feel like. Not that the Bills or the Ravens wouldn't have a fighting chance, even maybe a good chance in Kansas City. I mean, they've probably been the better teams all season long than the Chiefs, but it's still the two-time defending champions at home. All right, well, you think you're better, go prove it. Versus a home game against the Texans? That would be pretty crazy. Sal Capaccio with us now on the Wester Hotline. You'd agree, Sal? I mean, imagine the even a higher level of enthusiasm around this game if you were to get an upset tomorrow.
Yeah, I've kind of not allowed myself to go there, but it's certainly there. And the Texans, if you go back, they lost by eight or nine points, I think, just a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
To Kansas City. I think it was a Saturday game, maybe. And, you know, there are some things that they do that can give the Chiefs problems, namely their defense can get after it. And, you know, right now, as we know, the Chiefs' offensive line has been, you know, a bit shaky this year. But I do think about it because it reminds me of 2021, if you guys remember. I remember being in Kansas City and watching the Bengals-Titans game the night before the Bills played against the Chiefs. And the Bengals won 19-16. And from that moment, you're like, oh, my God, like, you win this game. You're hosting the AFC Championship next week. How unbelievable would that be? And, yeah, it would be incredible if that was the case going into it here at home knowing that versus in 2021 when you're on the road thinking that in front of this crowd with the crowd knowing that's the case. It'd be pretty amazing.
Derrick Henry, by the way, in that Bengals-Titans game. Remember, he came back from an injury? 20 for 62. That. 20 for 62
right.
In that game.
That scenario, Sal, I said earlier, like that I've had a pretty easygoing week. I don't know, just headspace-wise, like I don't find it really useful to get all wound up and nervous about these games anymore. They're coming either way. Somebody's going to win. Somebody's going to lose. So I try to just keep a level head. Mike mentioning like the idea of like, you know, we watch that game tomorrow afternoon and you get the Houston result, you get the Houston win. Now I'm nervous because now I feel like you better not lose. And I hate feeling like you better not lose. Like, my approach to this game has been Baltimore's excellent. The Bills are excellent. Like, I don't know. We'll see what happens within the game that we, you know, tear apart and analyze and blame people for or whatever. But, like, I don't know. Like, I can live with a result here if I lose here and nothing stupid happens. But suddenly, if I have the chance to host Houston in the AFC title game, now I'm tight.
Yeah, I agree with that. It reminds me of last week a little bit. Last week was, you better not lose this, right? You can't lose this. Come on, what are we doing? You have to win this game. And I felt like all that pressure was on the Bills, and you feel that as, you know, a fan rooting for the team out there, I'm sure, saying, like, come on, like, there's nothing to kind of win here other than, oh, you're supposed to do it. The difference here is, though, as opposed to last week, I think the Ravens would feel the same way, right? And the Ravens fans would feel the same way. Like, because, let's face it, they would also host the AFC Championship
right,
game.
Right.
And they'd probably feel great about their chances against the Houston Texans if they rolled into that play in that game at home. So, you know, in both scenarios here, whereas Denver's like, yeah, we're just going out there and playing loose. If the Texans win, you have both teams and both fan bases all of a sudden, you know, puckering up and going, oh, my God, I can't believe it.
To your word, loose, Sal, do you predict that the Bills will seem loose, be loose, if you can tell? Like, is that the vibe you're getting this week, that there's pressure, of course, everybody knows the stakes, but maybe with their experience, they're not necessarily uptight about it?
Yeah, I would expect by the time we get to Sunday, 6:30, and I see pregame warm-ups and those guys coming on the field, I will probably feel that a lot. Actually, Wednesday, down at the facility, our first day with the players, I was debating in my head, do they seem serious? Are they dialed in? Are they tight? And then by the time we got to Thursday, I felt that it was more that they were serious and dialed in because, you know, it wasn't as quote-unquote tight. I mean, you could even see Deion Dawkins with his glasses on it as, you know, podium and things like that. And I think that they were just really dialed in on Wednesday and trying to, you know, get work done from what I witnessed. And I think as the week's gone on, I've felt a little bit more like they're confident and, yeah, loose, relaxed, whatever that feeling is. I thought Dawson Knox was really good on this yesterday when he talked about the difference between being nervous or excited. He said there's a fine line. If you're nervous, it's more like you're almost, you know, hoping that something bad doesn't happen. If you're excited, you're just waiting for something good to happen.
Yeah, I feel like, Sal, like, you should get more accustomed to dealing with these pressure situations. I talked some about this with Nate, I think, and maybe with you on Wednesday. Like, McDermott's role in that, right? Like, we've talked about the different stories, and we've talked with you about your experiences with McDermott this year, and if he's different, how he's different, and how does that manifest itself? And you referenced him talking about this wrestler and all these different things that he's brought up. I feel like to sort of sum all that up, this might suffice. Like, you got to learn how to go through things. And McDermott would need to learn, too. And if he has to help these guys deal with pressure situations, it helps if he really knows and is comfortable with how he's dealing with pressure situations. Maybe he's gotten better at that. Maybe he's just more relaxed now because he knows he's been through some stuff. You know, last year was a rougher ride than he's had in other seasons. And maybe it's just a little bit more like, I'm just going to do the work and the chips will fall where they may. And I think that's the healthiest approach to have.
I agree, and it seems like that has been mostly his approach now in this kind of evolution of Sean McDermott, which is he doesn't have to have every detail about everything all the time in his mind, right? He's still the head coach. It's still his responsibility. He's making sure things are going the way they're supposed to go, but he's letting people do their job. He gives ownership to everyone. Not that he wasn't before, but it just was always maybe a forest through the trees type mentality, right? Like, you're so focused on these little details that the big picture kind of gets lost. And I think it seems like the big picture maybe has been crystallized here because he's allowing those smaller details to be handled in different ways. So I agree with that. I think
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
The transition they've made from some of the players they had also is interesting, because you had a group of players here, as great as they were, who have gone through this together, like 13 seconds and some of these playoff failures. And I think there can be sometimes things said for when you get in those situations, those things come back to you mentally. And I don't know, I'm not saying that you're going down the field thinking what's going to happen and go wrong, but I think collectively as a unit, you almost feel like, okay, what's going to happen? We talk about the Sabres with this all the time, right? They get to the third period. I think even Dylan Cousins said something like this the other day, like, okay, like, we're there now. Is something going to happen that's going to go wrong? Well, guess what? Now you have still some of those same players. Of course, Josh is here and guys like that. But you also have a whole new group of players that have never gone through that. And I think that can also be a very healthy aspect to it.
It has been pretty convincing of late, and really for the most part this season, sort of the vibes with the Bills as they have described them. Sal Capaccio on the West Hur Hotline. It's Friday. We've been talking about this game and the nuts and bolts of it every day, all week, and even sometimes on other stations that have called for us. Is there an angle that you might be able to think of here that you think has been underplayed? Is there something that we should be talking about or thinking about more often than it sounds?
Two things. Number one, I agree with Bulldog. I was listening earlier when he said that the Bills' offense against the Ravens' defense has not been kind of talked about enough. And I agree with that. It's been so much focus on the other side of the ball. How are the Bills going to stop the Ravens? How are the Bills going to stop the Ravens? What are they going to do about Derrick Henry? I love your tweet today about by the time we get to 6:30, you know, he's Paul Bunyan basically, and they have a bunch of 400 pounders, right? I mean, right. I get it. And you're right. But look, the Bills have been unbelievable on offense this year. The number two scoring team in the NFL. They, up until the Week 18 game, they're averaging 3 points per drive, which I don't know if people know. Historically, that is pretty amazing. Now, the Detroit Lions are the only other team scoring at a higher clip this year than the Buffalo Bills. They're number two, and the Ravens are number three. And how they're doing it, to me, is fascinating. I think that's a bit under-talked about. They're running the ball. They're controlling the line of scrimmage. 210 yards rushing last week. The other thing I do think has to be talked about here between now and Sunday and see how it plays out. Guys, we have two kickers here who one is a probable, it could be a Hall of Famer, one in Tyler Bass. They've struggled at times. They've missed 10 kicks, both of them, this year. And they've been, they both go to Tyler Bass last year in the playoffs, obviously a big kick against Kansas City. His kicks he's missed this year haven't really hurt the Bills. They have for Justin Tucker. But, you know, the Bills' special teams, we know their issues. I'm not talking about special teams. I'm talking about the kickers. And I just think that, like, this is a kind of game where that can happen. Will Lutz last week made 40 straight kicks until he hit the upright. That could have made it a 10-10 game. Like, it is real when you come into this stadium in this environment to kick footballs.
Interesting. Yeah, Tucker, they lost only five games. It's five games, but he missed against the Raiders, and they lost by three. He missed against the Steelers, right? He missed two against the Steelers. They lost by two. He missed two against the Eagles, and they lost by five. So more to your point about the importance of those kicks. All right, Bulldog asked you this yesterday, but one day closer, I feel like you're probably in the same place. But the weather here, what, if anything, does it do, cold, maybe not windy, to either team's approach?
Well, today I had Patrick Hammer on the Extra Point Show, as I normally do, and it was interesting today because he said there's actually a little bit more chance, and it started to perk up, of snow in the game. And just there's going to be some active weather around, and he said all it takes is a little bit to kind of stir that up. Look what happened the last couple of days ago or last night or whatever it was, last night, and you see all that snow in Orchard Park. He said, I'm not predicting that kind of snow, but we could have a little bit of weather in this game. We could have some snow because there's a storm that might be maybe getting a little bit closer and causing some of that. So I think that's interesting. The coldness, being the air temperature itself, you're right, not the wind, but the wind chill will play a factor to make it even colder. I just think it is something to monitor, and like, how do the Ravens handle it? I think there's no question about the Bills handling it. I mean, there shouldn't be any question as of now with all these games they've played, and of course the New England game several years ago, even this year, whether it was the New England or Jets game, I can't remember one of them, was super cold, obviously. Wasn't too bad, but the Broncos game last week. So I do think they can impact that. And then I do think it could impact, the decision, even if Zay Flowers really was, maybe close to playing, which I don't think so, but John Harbaugh said he had a chance. I think you'd have to consider the weather conditions if you're actually going to think about putting him on the field.
Yeah, a lot of this is repetitive. I'm sure we've covered it already, but today I just sort of stumbled into a point more about the weather and Baltimore style of play, all the ball handling, right? Pass option stuff, like Lamar putting the ball in Derrick Henry's belly, pulling it out, that kind of stuff. I think if your hands are cold, the ball is slick and cold, the turf is frozen, like all of that stuff could be trouble for Baltimore. It's another piece of the puzzle here that I like about the game being here.
Agreed with that. Lamar said he's not going to wear gloves, and that's fine. It's for some guys. It's not for some guys. And, when you get on the field, they have those hand warmers, those pouches those guys wear, and I'm sure he'll put them in there. But sure, as the game goes on and you're going down the field, your hands start to get a little cold. It's tougher to grip the ball. It's tougher when you put it in the belly, like you said. It's also a harder football. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that kind of come into play here. We know we have a guy here in Josh Allen that it just doesn't seem to ever matter to him, right? And I think that's what gives you comfort in the Buffalo Bills. But, I mean, it's still going to be harder for the Bills players to catch the ball and the Bills to kick the ball. But I think that they've kind of become accustomed to it. But more than anything, I think it's number 17 who you have the utmost faith in to have this type of situation not factor for him.
Sal, enjoy the playoffs this weekend. I'm sure you will. We'll talk next week.
You got it, guys. Talk to you then. Have a great weekend.
All right. That's our dude Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. His appearance is brought to you by New York's only outlet, Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Sal will wear gloves.
Yes, he will.
I would guess.
I think that's correct.
That would be smart. More on Bills Ravens, a little bit more. Not time for much more, a little bit more on this game. If we can think of anything else to say about it, that's our challenge. After this break, it is Football Friday on WGR, Sabres pregame with Paul Hamilton, Sabres Penguins coming up in about 18 minutes. The pregame show anyway is game time just after 7 as usual. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.